Welcome to the Edge Conservation Podcast, where we bring you the latest in innovation, insight, and effort on the front lines of wildlife conservation in Africa and around the world. I'm your host, Kira Dorian. Today, we are taking you to France to speak with Cyril Ruoso, wildlife conservation photographer. Cyril, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Kara, for having me this evening.
So I would love for you to start by just telling our listeners a little bit about your background and what brought you to conservation photography.
Okay. At the beginning, as a child and even as a teenager, I was sure to want to be to spend my life in nature in contact with animals. And first, I thought I would become a biologist. But after a few months in, I would say, very elitist studies, I just recognized that probably that was not exactly my path. And I quit. I quit it and started university, following courses about art and photography. And that is the way I became a nature photographer.
And what brought you to the nature piece? Like, what draws you as a photographer to those images?
As a teenager, I was fascinated by Arctic and the cold and wildlife in the cold. And I was like 21 years old, and I got an opportunity to go in Borneo, which is not exactly in the Arctic, as you know. So I took this opportunity, and I knew I wanted to spend more time with primates, and it was really something new and special for me. Very, very far from all what I expected, but so intense, just amazing. And actually, 25 years later, I'm still enthusiastic with primates.
Yeah, I know that your work has been particularly focused on apes and primates, and that you've published several photography books about them. So what is it about primates that draws you to them? And what have you learned by photographing them?
The first time I've seen an orangutan, I thought, oh, now I'm just in front of my ancestors. Mm. This is a clue. This is a clue of where do I come from? That was a very, very special sensation, and I like it. I mean, some people that doesn't want to understand or that doesn't want to see that they are the common origin with all the other primates, but I love this idea.
And so what have you learned working with them and photographing them?
First, I learned about their way of life, because I didn't know anything about any primates. So I would say each time I can discover new behaviors, and it's always exciting. And just last year, I went in Thailand and I met these macaques who can use tools, like the chimpanzees. They can crack open some shells using stones, and that's just crazy. I mean, when you see these macaques doing this, you really understand that okay, we come from the same origin, the same place.
Yeah, and that creates that connection, right, between animals and humans, when we recognize that we're really just another version of an animal, essentially, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think we forgot it too often, and I believe that one of my mission, or at least that's the way I can see my job, is this is exactly my job. I think I have to remember the people that, hey, look, we are all connected. We come all from the same nature, and that's what I want to do with my work.
Yeah, I know you've called yourself in the past a wildlife spokesperson. Is that what it means to you to sort of speak up to bring that connection back to humans?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly the point. I mean, we are very, very intelligent, of course, and that's the reason. And we know that we are intelligent, and we have such a power over all these other creatures in the planet. But I think it gives us some duties, the duties to respect the others, all these other creatures around us. And I want to be one of these people who can try to speak for all these animals and plants, because they cannot speak, but they have rights too, like us. That's what I believe, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you really aim to tell stories with your photographs. And so I'm curious, when you're out there and you're photographing these animals, how does the storytelling piece and the spokesperson piece influence the way that you shoot? How does it affect the way you either wait for a shot or capture an image?
I try to tell story most often about humans and animals. I would say a classic wildlife photographer would probably make pictures only about behaviors, animal behaviors, or even just beauty, nature beauty, which is good, of course. But I think that one of my mission is also to tell stories, it's a way to tell connection, which kind of connection there are between human beings and animals, or animals and animals.
Does that change the way that you set up a shot? You know, if you're not going for beauty, if you're not going, I'm sure that beauty is a part of it, but if that's not the focus, if the focus is that connection and what story am I telling, as a photographer, does it change the way that you're setting it up?
Yes, also because one part of my job, I think, is connected in the photo history with news reporter. And these guys, they don't work in the same way. I mean, they don't work in the same way, not with the same tools. But now I would say that was really true when I started, like 25 years ago. There were really a gap between the way the news photographer worked and the nature wildlife photographer. Now, it's not so obvious, but so I mixed all together. I mean, I can use the very wide angle with the flashes, use the movement, like the news photographer, and also the long lens and the classic way. I can mix all these two way of work.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I read somewhere that you're sort of known for hiding quite some time waiting for a shot, that you really like to be immersed in the environment, that's half the fun for you, is actually getting to be in these different environments. What's that like, just sitting out in nature and waiting?
Oh, that's a great feeling. That's not the main way I work, but some of my pictures I have to be hiding and to be like a ghost. It's really a pleasure, because you get this feeling of strong connection with the environment, and you have to disappear in the environment. It's another way when I work with primates who are used to be followed by scientists. Then it is more about trust. These animals, they have to trust you, and you have to trust them. And it's another way to work. I like both of them, both ways. But I would say, in any cases, it's a matter of respect.
Yeah. So I was on your Instagram profile, which is beautiful, and it says that you are a frog fanatic. And so I sort of followed this trail, and I went on to learn that giant frogs, they're the largest on Earth, and they're actually facing extinction due to poaching, which I had absolutely no idea. So can you tell us more about that?
Unfortunately, there's no so much more to say, because even the scientists, they don't know so much about this species, because this frog hasn't been studied in the wild yet, or at very, very few. Even the way she reproduces and the details, we don't really know. It's terrible, because what we know is for sure, the population of this Goliath frog is decreasing in a critical way. That's for sure. And because of hunting, poaching, but we don't know. We don't know anything about this frog. Only that it's a giant species, and in Africa, it's just meat. It's just interesting because it's a lot of meat for one shot.
I see. And is that's where the poaching is coming from? Is for the meat, or is it also? I thought I saw something about the exotic pet market, that people are trying to catch them in order to sell them on the exotic pet market.
Yeah, I think the major threat to the species is the hunting and the poaching. It's another scale compared to some animals can be caught to be sold in Europe or somewhere else.
Right, and the poaching piece is for the meat. Is that what you're saying? That it's a lot of meat for a small kill?
Yeah, the hunting, the purpose of the hunting is clearly just to eat.
So, I mean, what can we do about that? How do we, if we've got animals that are facing extinction because of the hunting, but the hunting is providing the meat, what do you think, how can we participate in shifting that?
Oh, that's a big issue. And honestly, this is not an easy question, because some people that propose to breed in captivity this animal, even we don't know actually if it's even possible, or if we do we have the skill to do this. We even don't know this, but maybe this would be not a good idea, because then how do you make the difference from a frog coming from a breeding or from a wild frog from the forest? You don't know anymore. So I'm not sure, I'm even not sure that's a good way to fight this trouble. Actually, I don't know. I mean, it's everywhere the same question. It's mainly because people are very poor and they are just struggle for living. That's it. But this is a big issue. But what to say? I mean, in this country, because of corruption, the people are poor, and the government is rich. That's the main trouble.
Right. Yeah, we spoke with someone else on a separate episode where it was that same question of how do we take care of the humans so that they can take care of the animals? It's a conundrum. So what is it about frogs? I understand the link to primates. You know, it's like, that's me. That was me, you know, a million years ago. But what's the link to frogs? What is it about them that you love, and why do you photograph them?
Probably I spent quite a long time photographing frogs because of my childhood. But I would say I believe that everything you can do when you are an adult is linked, however, to your childhood. And when I was a kid, the frogs was an important part of my countryside adventures around my house. And this is probably one of the reasons I'm fascinated with these animals.
I love it. I have a vision of you as a young boy on the French countryside, you know, galloping with frogs. I love it. That's great. And I know that you've been nominated for Wildlife Photographer of the Year like three times, and one of those shots at least was a frog photograph in 2016. So tell us about that shot.
Oh, if it is the pictures I'm thinking about, this frog in the icy landscape, that was really, I love these pictures and I love the story around because it has been taken in the Alps. So it's in France, not very far. I mean, regarding the size of your country, it's very close to my place, just few hundreds of kilometers. So I would say it's just next door. And it's just a crazy story, something blows my mind. And I didn't know it. I didn't know that it was possible to find frogs jumping in the snow. I didn't know that. So when I got this information, I really wanted to take a picture of this. And it has been really, really something very special and emotional for me to work on this story. When you can hear the song of these frogs below your feet under the snow, it's something, it's just something crazy I've never think about before. I didn't know anything. So I really learned something in the field, not in the book, but just in the field and not far from my place. So that's very, very exciting.
I love that. Now, am I right that you work closely with your partner because she's a journalist? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And actually, she has done a thesis about orangutan. So she's also a primate addict like me.
And tell us a little bit about her. Like, what's her name and what kind of work with primates is she doing?
She's Emmanuelle Grünemann. She's a doctor in primatology, but actually she shifted to journalism. She stopped after the thesis to become a journalist and to write papers, books, articles, only about nature and conservation. And I would say with the same goal as me, just to tell to everybody how fantastic is the nature and that we are nature too and we have to take care of it.
Yeah, I love that. I like to ask photographers what their luckiest shot was. Do you have a lucky shot?
lucky in wildlife photography is, I think it's most of the time, it's a small part. It's a part, but it's a small one, because if you don't have intuition, if you don't have knowledge, it doesn't work. Probably I've been lucky when I took this shot of the chimpanzees in Gombe. This male, Frodo, was eating, I'm not sure of the name in English, a kind of wild pig. So he was eating this half wild pig and two females each side of him looking at this prey, begging for it. That was another crazy, memorable instant. And I've been lucky in the sense of the action started in a deep bushes. They were just a few meters from me, so excited with the meat. And Frodo managed, because he's the better hunter. So he got the baby white pig, and Frodo kept one half with him. And he went in a tree, not very far from this place. I've been lucky because this little hill has burned before. That was a luck for me. So, and I just climbed on this hill thinking that he will go somewhere interesting for me. And I was right. He just climbed up front of me on an open view place, and I've been able to take this shot.
That's amazing. So I'm curious, before we wrap up, I love this whole philosophy that you have of your role as a storyteller and creating this connection between humans who are really just animals back to our original roots. I'm wondering if you've ever seen something or been told something that really solidified that for you? Is there a particular photograph or series where you know that it made an impact, it made a difference in this way that is your goal? I'm sure they all do, but is there one that stands out for you?
I just try to do what I do. And unfortunately, I know that this is not enough. Okay, we need some people like me, but this is not enough, for sure.
What else do you think we need?
We need scientists, we need activists, we need politicians who can hear our voices. I would say we need everybody.
Right. So if people are listening to this and they want to get involved, what do you recommend?
I would recommend to try to see what you can do at your scale. Don't think about big things that you cannot reach. Just very common things, daily common thing. What you eat, I mean, all these little things, daily things. I try to don't kill any animals around me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my son just moved in a small apartment for his study. And when I arrived, there were a big spider in the sink. And I just caught this spider in a box and just threw it through the window in the garden. And my son just told me, "Oh, you're right. We should not kill these animals."
That's so funny because we do the same thing in our house, and I have two little kids. They're tiny, and I always say to them, that spider has a mommy, and that mommy would be devastated to think that we had killed her little spider. So we do the exact same thing in our home. It's like animals are animals are animals, right?
Yeah, and I think you're right. This is a small things. I mean, we will not change the world that way, but we can change the mind.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
For sure, that is the beginning of something.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. We're not going to save all the animals by saving one spider, but by shaping the minds of the next generation to recognize that spider is actually an animal just like us, and it deserves the same respect that we would expect. I think that's exactly right.
I agree 100%.
So tell us how listeners can find you and follow your work, because I will say to our listeners, his work is amazing. Your photos are just stunning. So how can people find you, follow your work, and support what you're doing?
To see one part of my work, because it's never updated. I have always some years of delay. So it's on my website or on my Instagram account. So I will do my best to put some new photos soon.
Well, Cyril, thank you so much for joining us today. I really hope that our listeners will check out some of your incredible photographs, especially when they've heard this mission that you have of, you know, bringing this connection between humans and animals and participating in changing the mind to see it more as it actually is. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Kira, to give me the opportunity to speak and to try to explain what is my work. Thank you again.
So as always, I like to leave you with a quote. Today's quote is from Ansel Adams, which is appropriate. "When words become unclear, I shall focus with photographs. When images become inadequate, I shall be content with silence." Join us next week. Our show is produced by Eric Johnson, Kira Dorian, and Edge. Thanks for listening.